My name is Mary Grace, and you're listening to the Homebody Podcast. Here, we explore embodiment as interstellar beings, practicing how to live more fully as creatures of both the stars and the earth. These spiritually and artfully minded conversations intersect astrology, creative practices, intuition, magic, healing, poetry, and a deep love for the natural world. My hope is to enliven you so we can co-create possible regenerative futures, to encourage you so together we can become dynamic agents of beauty, fully awake with our power intact. Let us be intentional as we approach the creation and caretaking of life, and let's make room for inquiry, sensitivity, and joy. Thank you for listening. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. Today I have a shorter solo riff for you all, if you will, talking about just death seasons, and it's not a structured, you know, SEO-friendly blog post format episode where I outline all the pros and cons and benefits, but it just felt like it was something that wanted to come through, so it's a little more free-form constellation of ideas and images and pictures that is a little atypical of what I do for solo episodes, but it did feel correct at the time of recording, so I'm sharing it with you. If you are interested in what is even going on astrologically, this is being recorded a few weeks in advance, but I imagine by now there will be a little bit of like, what is even going on in the sky? Last week, there is an episode covering the second half of November's astrology, including the partial lunar eclipse that is happening in Taurus tomorrow when this episode comes out. And there's also, you can go back a couple more weeks and then hear the first half of November as well and explore to your heart's content. So with this, today's episode, I just hope that you'll give yourself some space. I hope if you are moving through a season right now where you feel some shedding happening, some covering happening, that you give yourself a lot of space and that you're able to find a bit of peace as you move into that eye of the storm moment. And as always, you know, listen with your own wisdom, listen with your own sovereignty. You are the god of your experience and of what is and isn't ultimately yours to do and yours to take in. So please always reestablish yourself in that. That is always my intention, never to take over that role for you by any means. And if you need help or support in any of the things that you are going through, feel free to look below. You're welcome to book a session with me if that feels like something that would be helpful for you, or if you feel like you need a session with someone, but you're probably not me, you're also welcome to reach out and I'll see if I can direct you to someone who could fit. So, saying this with love, and see you on the other side. But death is an essential component of life, that it is an essential component of the cycle that we're living on if we do want to exist within a regenerative cycle, which is the only way that life can exist and will continue. And so that means there must be an embracing of death processes, of death seasons, of seasons where we go dark, of seasons where, meaning the lights are off, seasons where we allow the leaves to come off and we stand there more bare, more stripped, where all of the energy of the tree is pulled in. And the tree isn't dying every autumn, but the leaves are dying. The dressings are dying. The flourishes are dying. The outer trimmings, the things that make it more lush and beautiful and vibrant. In the winter, it can't support the blooming and the flourishing that the leaves and the flowering and the fruiting does. And so it must pull in order to survive. And so if there is a contraction happening that you feel, if there is a pulling in that you feel, it is okay to contract and pull in. I know that there is nothing in culture that says that we can do that. We don't have a lot of demonstrations of doing that. But if we look beyond over culture and we look actually to the patterns of life around us, then we see that it is essential, that it is everywhere, whether you are in an autumn season where you are geographically or not. Sometimes our season doesn't always line up in all ways with the natural seasons outside, though our body can, I think, benefit from some alignment there. In our resistance, we're afraid of that process. I think a lot of the shouting and the always present, the always working, some of the hustle is this fear of disappearing, that there will be this drowning, of this lack of relevance, of this lack of visibility. If I go invisible now, if I pull back now, then I'm never going to be visible again. And that is simply not the law of life, that in order for life to happen, death must happen, and that they are actually connected to one another. They are two sides of the same coin. When you flip one side over, you see the other and how they are actually braided together and threaded together with the same loom, and how you are as well. And so how can we reframe these processes where we feel stripped and invisible and perhaps even raw or less lovely, or we just don't have the energy or the wherewithal, or we're confused and we don't know what the next step is or where we even are right now or what is even going on? How can we just learn to recognize those and name them for what they are? And that while our feelings are valid, our feelings aren't always the navigator. Sometimes our feelings can tell us what's happening, but they can't always tell us if we should move or not. And that just because something is hard right now doesn't mean it's not a yes, or that it wasn't a yes. There is a way that we get taught, or is taught, that if you're following your intuition, or you're trying to, I don't know, manifest the right way, whatever that is, and then if you're trying to make spirit conscious decisions, or live a heart-led life, or whatever the other ways that folks are framing this these days. So if we're living in alignment, it's kind of subliminal, but like we get to like avoid the death process, and we don't actually. It's almost like doing those things is sort of a deep dive into those processes in so many ways, into that heart of the sun where we're, you know, purified by the burning warmth, radiance, like the warmth light of the sun is so strong and so powerful. Like in astrology, for instance, when a planet gets too close to the sun within a certain degrees, it becomes invisible. We can no longer see it. Its power is diminished by its proximity to the sun. And so perhaps we could think of it like that, like our death process as getting close to the heart of the sun, where we are purified and renewed, where we get reinvigorated by the process of being received unto the throne of the King. And in order to go through that process, we must become invisible for a time to enter into that special chamber. We must become dead for a time in order to experience the renewal and reinvigoration. That when we appear visible on the other side, just like the planets do, that we have a different position, perhaps a different story that's beginning, a different sense of identity, a different chapter that we've started. But if we want a different chapter, then we have to sort of go through whatever that initiation is to the new story. We have to complete the chapter we've been in and then begin the one that we're going into. And yes, that is a death process, and no, it isn't fun, but I think if there's something in you that is feeling like it has been time for a new iteration, then that is the necessary process. And can we, instead of running away from the fear that we'll disappear, can we just look at it and say, and just say that I see you, fear, I move closer to it, I talk to it, I ask it, what does it need from me to acquiesce to this process? What does it need from me to collaborate with this process? If it wants to shed off and I'm holding on to it, what does it need from me? What do I need to learn from it? What exchange needs to happen? It's like that exercise from Lama Sol Tremaglioni, the tea with demons, right? Like, instead of running from the demons, which makes them get bigger and bigger and bigger, what if we have tea and we exchange biscuits and we're like, what does this demon need from me? What is the thing that's hounding me? What does it need? And can I give it that? Can I feed the demon so that it can become something that is transformed into an ally, into a gift, into someone who, or something that looks out for me and is on my side, and instead of hounding me, hoists me up, it helps me. And that is the kind of alchemy and transformation that I think as spiritual beings, we're most interested in, right? It's not super comfortable. It's not comfortable at all. And we can have compassion for the parts of ourselves that are really resisting that. I don't think there needs to be any sense of punishment associated with difficult seasons or changes or upheavals. There doesn't need to be any punishment at all. There's been nothing wrong, right? There's no sin that's been done that is getting retribution now. It is simply you are partaking in the cycle of life, which is your own life, and partaking in the cycle of your own evolution, which is your soul, which is your spirit, which is what it's doing here. How do we move closer and ask it what it needs instead of running from it? How do we move closer? What does it need, and can I give it that? Can I ask it? The roots of the trees stay where they are. The branches of the trees stay where they are. They take up as much space. But with the leaves gone, there is more negative space in between them. We see all the ins and outs, the bones, the nerves, the bareness, the skeleton of it all. Inside the tree, it pulls in and pulls in and pulls in. It's okay to pull in. If something hurts, it's okay to say that it hurts. If something's over, it's okay to say that it hurts. If we're afraid to pull back, if we're afraid to move into a season where we aren't creating as much, where we're not producing as much, where we're failing more, where we're confused more, where we don't like the lack of how we are making money, or we don't like the lack of sparkle that's showing up on our things because we know we don't have the right amount of energy to put towards it. We can see that and we can name that. I don't think it's always accompanied with the amount of privilege where we're like, oh, if it's not in alignment, I'll just ditch it. You know, we're not always able to just like quit a job because we want to, right? That's not always an option that we have. Sometimes we have to keep doing things anyways, and it's okay if we feel the rub, that discrepancy, that space between where we know it's not fitting right, we know that there is transformation happening and it's not lining up, where we're sick of having this fight with our person, or we're sick of rubbing up against this irritation or this feeling, so that area of our life is starting to chafe and get really, really uncomfortable. How do we move closer to it and ask it what it needs? Because the solution isn't always discard. Sometimes it is time to finish something and move on and let a chapter truly close. And sometimes that happens within the same container. We don't always jump from one bowl to another for the transformation. Sometimes it is all happening within the container that we're already in. So move closer to it instead of farther away. Because the thing, it's like the boogeyman under the bed. The more, if we don't look at it, the bigger it gets, the scarier it gets, the more harm it can do, because it gets more power as it lives strong in our imagination. It gets more unconquerable. It takes up more space. the less we look at it, the more we try to ignore it, the more it scares us, the more it disrupts our sleep. But if we were to just get over that initial fear and just jump out of the bed, turn on the light, look under the bed, and see it for what it is, whether that's money and actually just looking at numbers, like actually looking at them, the real ones, and seeing them for what they are, or whether it's looking at the chafing or the irritation that you feel rubbing up against this discomfort or this situation in life, or whether it's like avoiding conversation with someone that you seem to be in disagreement with. What happens if we just really let ourselves sit and move towards the discomfort for what it has to teach us? It may be inviting us into a spiral season of death. At any time that that is the true invitation, we can also know that on the other side of that is a winding back out, a spiral back out, a blooming back out in the opposite direction on the other side of the season of life, and that is just how it works. Therefore, it is a promise. So wherever you are, take a breath. Whatever discomforts or unpleasantries, things you're squinting your eyes against, you've been pushing out to the side, can you simply make space for yourself for them to be present? Invite them all to the table. Invite them all to sit down. Give them all a cup of soup. Listen to all to what they have to say. They may be other people's voices. They may be your voices. There may be arguments that you haven't had or that you have had. Unpleasant things that you're ashamed of or wish you hadn't done or wish you had done, things that people did to you, whatever the thing is. How do they get smaller when we nourish them?
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the show, and share the episode. Check out the links below to learn more about things we talked about and find free resources. If you'd like to continue the conversation, please join us inside of the Homebody Portal, a free online community where you can talk more about the episode, learn with us, and connect with others. Let us be in service to life with courage, creativity, and connection. Thank you for being here. Be well. Peace.